But church planters and gospel ministers, they are at their heart theologians in chief. It is calling people back to the gospel, understanding the implications, then pushing them back out.
So as we've said previously, church planting is not a solo exercise. We cannot and we should not be trying to do this by ourselves. But part of building a healthy launch team is not merely that you as the planter have clarity about where you're going, as important as that is, but that those in your launch team also have that same clarity that you do and helping to shape this emerging church.
Yeah. So as the church planter, you're not doing everything. That's not your role. I said it before, but the role of the church planter, the unique role the church planter plays, is they are the theologian in chief. You don't have the answers to everything. You're part of a body, but you should have, and you hopefully will have, the clearest picture of the key theological convictions that you hold, that your church holds, and how they feed into the vision and values and outcomes, and how they shape the structures as well, the pathways and the teams that you build. That's the role of the planter. But you're not going to have the answer to everything. You're part of a body. So as you seek to embed this DNA and build both wide and deep ownership of the vision of the church, it's key to grasp what parts of the decision-making process you have more control of, you should have more control of, what you need to have less control of, and where it is you need to inject yourself into that conversation.
Now people can see a diagram that has a summary of some of these positions. And so up the top are the theological convictions, down the bottom, logistics, logos, websites, etc. At the top, also, it's indicating that it's mostly talking. Down the bottom, it's mostly listening. What's the thinking behind that?
Well, the key to leading any meeting is to know what kind of meeting you're in. And what kind of discussion you're having at any one point in time. It's good for you to know that, and it's great for those in the meeting to know that as well. Mm. So they know the boundaries of the discussion. So broadly thinking, you can see in that diagram that the point that you're doing the most talking, the most influencing people directly, is around that theological conviction. They're non-negotiable things. We're not here to discuss whether we believe the Trinity or not. We do, and here are the implications of it. So we're not discussing. We're mostly talking at that point, not negotiating the place of the Bible, the atonement, salvation. Those things are set in stone. When it comes to vision and values and outcomes, they probably sit just below that a little bit. There may be some discussion about it. There may be refining of what those things are and the words used, but they'll often have been worked on and out and honed by you. But there's some discussion, but still, it's in the mostly talking category. Now, you move down the diagram, you see, let's go right down the bottom there, and you see in that diagram things like the logistics logo, website, you know, coffee, those kind of things, the structural things that are happening there. Now, it's not as if those things are unimportant, but my suspicion is the planner won't always be best placed. I'll have an opinion, no doubt. Planners have opinions about everything, but they won't always be the best placed person to implement that stuff on the ground. There'll be other people with other ideas that you want to utilise within there. Now, you've got the bit in the middle, the kind of mission funnel section in there, the funnels, the pathways, all those kind of things. Now, their discussions, it's kind of an integration of key theological convictions and vision, values, outcomes, and things that pragmatic decisions that need to be made. But that's the point at which you're injecting a theological framework around pragmatic decisions. Mm. Now, that's the role of the planner, that helping people understand how it is the Bible comes to bear on the decisions we're making, but allowing people the freedom to make those decisions and have real responsibility in there.
Yeah. Yeah, and so you get to the bottom of the diagram, and it's not that those decisions are unimportant. It's just that they're not necessarily your primary responsibility, maybe not even your gifting, as Derek mentioned, so you're mostly listening. In fact, what you begin to see with teams that are starting to function really well is that they're doing things better than the planter ever could. They're really trying to accelerate the mission because they've got the vision and the responsibility and freedom to act.
That's right. And so your role here, the key thing as a planter, you're thinking through, what is my role here? I've got to know or understand what my role is in this moment. Mm. At the heart of embedding your DNA, the DNA of the church, and engaging your launch team is this ability to know what your role is amidst the people of God in all this decision making and what it isn't. And there are lots of pragmatic decisions that need to be made in order to launch a church. But church planters and gospel ministers, they are at their heart theologians in chief. Mm. It is calling people back to the gospel, understanding the implications, then pushing them back out, allowing both the context and the freedom for people to be equipped and express what it looks like to be God's people, who are ready for works of service around what God is doing in this particular place at this particular time.
Yeah. So we're going to put some flesh on this. We'll walk through two examples of what these launch team meetings might look like. Note some differences, but here are some examples of team meetings that might start 12 months prior to launch and become more frequent over time.
Yep. You'll see them on the screen. These are just examples. That's all they are of what launch team meetings might look like. They go for about an hour and 45 minutes. You'll open with prayer. You might have a 10-minute talk. You might open the Bible for 10 minutes around gospel convictions and vision. You're just drilling that home. 7:15, you might run the life course, week three. This is week three. We've been working through it. This is just a Christian Explained course. That's all it is. And you're doing it with your launch team. Then you have reflection dissection. So you do it and then you pause, you pull back and say, what worked, what didn't work? Why do we do this? People have input into it, have ownership over it. 8:30, what's happening this week in wherever it is you're planting, in Brisbane. And so this is what's happening around Traps. Now that, the point of that is just to begin to get to know your community, and then you have open prayer, people pray. And so you can see on the right-hand side of that diagram as well, there's different people involved in this meeting. It's not the planter doing everything in there. It may be the first few meetings, the planter does do most things, but they begin to hand stuff over. So you can see in this one, the point of this meeting is really just to train people in a course, the Life is Christian Explained course that you're going to use afterwards. But all the little pieces around, they're relational, other people are involved, you're thinking about the context and how to reach them, and gospel convictions are driving in. Mm. So there you go. I would always say as well, I would always recommend that you have a Christian Explained course and a membership course ready to go, ready to run as soon as you launch. So that's part of the reason for doing that in there, just to get it going, to iron out the kinks, to find something that works and to build confidence in people who are at church about what it's going to look like.
Yep.
You know, here's the second one. This is the second example. You see pretty much the same structure. You open with 10-minute talk around gospel convictions. But in this one, 7:15, you're talking about strategies of integration and gospel outcomes here. And so you're talking through how is it that people find their way into the life of the church as a community. 8 p.m., your discussion on how it can work in this context. So you might have, from 7:15 to 8 p.m., spoken big picture principles, might give them some examples. But then at 8 p.m., everyone starts to talk about what would this look like to do this at our church, in our context? How could we do this? How could we improve on it? 8:30, what's happening again in the area? Again, pulling it back down. These are people we're trying to reach. So it's not just an academic exercise. And 8:45, you're opening prayer. So here, in this second example, the discussion moves between more talking and more listening phases of it, but it moves from the high-level planter talking through gospel convictions and some strategic principles up here to everyone having ownership of, okay, now we understand the framework and let's talk about what it looks like. And they're genuine discussions in there. Now, the planter might have strong ideas about that, but you've got to sometimes hold yourself back in that moment. Allow yourself to know when you need to inject yourself, know when you need to pull back, and that builds ownership of the shape of the church while it's still being built around gospel conviction and vision.
Yeah. So just some key principles that you'll be able to pick up in those last two examples. So you open the Bible and you are always driving back to gospel convictions, tying it into the church plan and decision making. Secondly, it's not always the planter up the front. You'll notice sometimes it's them speaking, sometimes it's other voices being heard, other leaders in this context. Thirdly, there's parts where you think and pray about the people that you're trying to reach. People might do research, they might present on who's in the area, speaking to demographics, but it'll always come back to prayer. And fourthly, that's the last one. It always contains prayer. This is God's work. You really want to embed that in your DNA, particularly early on, that prayer is the heart of this plant from the very beginning.
Excellent. Well, next on, we're going to talk about building ministry teams. Around theological convictions.
Theological convictions.
Theological convictions. All right, I'll start that bit again.